Hello, and welcome to This Thing Called Life, a podcast dedicated to sharing stories about acts of giving, kindness, compassion, and humanity. Your host, Andy Johnson, will introduce you to powerful stories about organ, eye, and tissue donation from individuals, families, and healthcare teams whose experiences will inspire you and remind you that while life is hard, unpredictable, and imperfect, it's also beautiful. We are so happy you're here. Now, let's join the show.
Welcome to This Thing Called Life. I'm your host, Andy Johnson. Thank you so much for listening as we talk about organ, eye, and tissue donation from every angle. Those that are alive today because of transplant, the caregivers who take care of them, the families of our donor heroes, living donors, and those who work to make these miracles happen each and every day. It's April, so it's Donate Life Month, a time to celebrate, conversate, and motivate. Celebrate the tremendous generosity of those who have saved and healed others as organ, eye, and tissue donors. Have the necessary, very necessary conversations about why donation is important, and listen to those who are alive today because of the generosity of a donor, and learn the truths about donation. And then motivate people to act. If you're not registered, please do so at registerme.org or at your local BMV. And then most importantly, share your decision with your family. You can visit lifepassiton.org for more information. So today we are going to conversate with Mr. Darren Chenault and hear firsthand how donation changed his life and really broke a cycle of people in his family dying from kidney disease. So welcome to the show, Darren.
I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you so much for being here. How are you doing?
Great. I'm blessed to be here, to be honest with you. And it's kind of cool to have those sunny days again, because at one point in time, it was cloudy.
Yes.
It was some cloudy days, but I'm blessed and I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. So talk about your journey with transplant. Where you are today. I remember maybe a year or so ago, I saw a TV story about a football coach who needed a kidney transplant, and that football coach was you. So tell us about it.
Wow. I tell you what, Andy, I kind of go back to coaching football because I'm a high energy guy. Mm-hmm. I love jumping up and running around with the kids. And I can remember being at Moeller and mm-hmm. was just drained. Mm-hmm. I was bent over all the time. And, I took off with a kid running down the field and I had to stop like 5 yards into it. And I'm like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Now, I knew I had some kidney issues a while back, like stage 1 and stage 2. And I thought it was all kind of hereditary from my mm-hmm. dad and stuff like that, but never knew that it got to this magnitude, like right now. So
when did you first learn that you had kidney issues?
So that was probably back, I believe I was like 39-ish. Okay. And like I said, I found out it wasn't no big deal to me because it was the early stage, being the guy that I am. Oh, it's just stage 1. It's stage 2.
And you really didn't have any. You didn't have any side effects.
None. None. Just besides the blood pressure being high, mm-hmm. You're on blood pressure pills and things of that nature. And, I saw my dad do it for years. So I didn't bother to think anything of it. It's
very
just
very normal.
Yeah. It's my time. This is mm-hmm. what I got from my dad. I'll take care of it. And I'm going to go do me. I'm going to mm-hmm. get up in the morning. I'm going to go work out. I'm going to lift weights. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to coach kids. But I remember that day like it was yesterday, because I was hiding it for the longest. Mm. I went to UC. I went to work at UC mm-hmm. and I got COVID there and didn't realize that COVID it ramped it up. Mm-hmm. It took it from like a stage 2 to stage 5 right now.
Wow.
And that's when I went to practice and I had no idea. I figured I got over COVID. Everything was going all right. And just at practice, it hit me. And I remember going home and telling my wife, and my wife has some history in the nursing field. And mm-hmm. we went to the doctor, and I always kind of watch my wife. Like if things get real bad, I'm looking at her.
You
like,
can read her energy.
Yeah, I can read that energy. If it's going down, it's like something's going on. So
shout out to Sherry.
No doubt. No doubt. And I was going to spin that later back to her. But just something was going on and I had to deal with it. So it's funny because I was going to practice and after all the kids and coaches leave, I get in my truck, drive around the corner and take a quick nap because I was tired. I couldn't make that 20-minute drive home.
So you said you hit it. Why?
I because I was embarrassed by it. Because here I am thinking I'm the guy. Like I work out in the morning. Kids are looking up to me. I'm a police officer. Mm-hmm. I'm a superhero to my kids and my family, so to speak. I just wanted to be that guy in my family. Like I got this. Mm-hmm. And I think every man I know in my family, every black man in our family tries to step up and take that lead sometimes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we need to lean on people. And that's what I learned throughout this whole process, mm-hmm. that I needed to lean on my family and my family was going to love me up. But I was embarrassed by it because it's just wasn't something that was me. And mm-hmm. when I left that doctor's office and he was like, yeah, we're going to go ahead and start the dialysis part of it, which I got a peritoneal at the time. Mm-hmm. I guess that's a different form from the fistula and stuff like that.
So you're doing that at home at night.
Correct.
So basically you're hooked up to a machine while you sleep, which mm-hmm. is cleaning your blood versus going into the dialysis clinic and receiving treatment there.
Which for me, being hooked up for 8 hours a night is like the no-no. Once again, I'm going back to that high energy stuff. Yeah. So, it crushed me. I sat out in that parking lot thinking I need a kidney. Mm. Now, you know, to get a kidney, you got to kind of advertise for it. Yeah. And I'm not the guy to advertise for me.
Right.
You know, so they explain the champion process. So every person that goes through this needs a champion. That's the person that gets it out there. And for me, it was a no-brainer because I do a nonprofit for cancer with a business partner, mm-hmm. and she put it out there. So I'm going to football games and I'm on the scoreboard and, you know, coach needs a kidney and mm-hmm. signs are popping up. So she knocked it out the park. But my real hero, mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you, is my wife. Mm-hmm. I don't stray from that. I know she doesn't get the credit like she should get it, but I mean, she put me in the game. She made me feel like everything was going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And we kind of powered through this thing together. So,
wow.
But the donor. Mm.
Tell us about that.
Andy, I've never been in a tougher situation in my life. When mm-hmm. when Aaron, my nephew, called and said that he was a match, I can tell his excitement was through the roof. Like, you know, I'm going to help my uncle. And for people that don't know the story, my nephew is my brother's child. And my brother passed away of a heart attack due to a fire. He was a Cincinnati firefighter.
Oh, wow.
And I recall telling my brother, you know, you can go ahead and go on home and I'll take care of your kids. And mm-hmm. for Aaron to be a match and now he's about to take care of me was something that I just didn't want to receive at the time.
Right.
But, you know, the way Aaron, my two kids, my wife, how they approached me was just, hey, this is a gift. Mm-hmm. And don't too many people receive a gift right. like this. And I remember everybody leaving and I sat there in complete silence. And it's almost like my brother and my mom and dad were speaking from me from heaven, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we did it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a tough ride, but we did it.
Yeah.
You know, I tell people that morning, June 6th is when I received my kidney from Aaron. Mm-hmm. I remember waking up at 3:00 in the morning, sitting there. We're getting in the car, riding down, my wife and I, and we get down there and everybody's down there. My kids, my sister, Aaron's wife, Aaron, and we're all walking down this hallway. And I looked over my shoulder and to me, it was almost like a game day, mm-hmm. you know, that big game day. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at Aaron's eyes and I couldn't have picked. Or I should say God couldn't have picked a better person.
Right.
Because in Aaron's eyes, he was ready. Mm. It was no doubt. It was no hesitation. And he kind of eased my fear of what was going to happen to him. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, kind of woke up and sunshine was out. I never talked so much in my life.
Yeah, I bet. So that you felt much better.
Oh, I tell people I got a a donation from a 32-year-old young man, and now I feel like I'm 32. So, but I'm blessed because I was worried about Aaron.
Yeah.
And I was, for me, I needed to see Aaron after the surgery. Everybody was telling me Aaron's great. Oh, he's this. And I said this before, any good parent needs to lay eyes on their kids.
Absolutely.
And Aaron was one of my kids. And to have Aaron and my two kids and my wife in the room, I was at ease. I think, like I said, God was with us,
So your story is interesting. You know, we know that Black families have higher rates of kidney disease and diabetes, which many times lead to needing dialysis and a transplant. Yet, we do not, as a community, as a race, we don't step up at the same rate to be living donors as white people. And what do you think? Why do you think that is? Because what, I mean, that's why I think your story is definitely so special, and that your nephew did this, but also just because it doesn't happen as much as, you know, we wish it did.
I'm going to be honest. Education. Mm-hmm. We don't educate ourselves enough. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go back to Sherry, my wife, with her being in the field, with her just digging into this. The nights I saw her on the computer, just, you know, laying into this whole donation thing and getting advice from people. Education is the big key. We don't educate ourselves enough. I think I mentioned this earlier because you're the person in your family. Mm-hmm. You feel like you shouldn't have to receive something from somebody much younger. Mm-hmm. Life comes full circle. Mm-hmm. The people that we invest in, especially in our community, because we invest in a lot of people. We invest in our families. We invest in the kid around the corner. Mm-hmm. These are the same kids trying to help us, and we got to open up our hearts and let them help us. Mm-hmm. Shouts out to Dr. Cuffey, too.
Because yes.
Amazing man.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you why, because Aaron has some doubts. Mm-hmm. You know, I think everybody that goes through this has a little bit of doubt.
Absolutely.
And he got a hold of Aaron, and they had a friend to friend, brother to brother conversation. Mm-hmm. And that was awesome, because sometimes coming from us, you know, Aaron's getting information from me and my wife, and sometimes that's not the best place to get it from.
Right.
But when you get it from a guy that knows what kidney donation is all about, from a guy who cares enough to have that conversation, because we all know his schedule is busy.
Yes.
But he's another guy that invested in Aaron, because he told Aaron, after this is all said and done, be that guy to go out and invest in your community as well.
Oh,
and that's, Aaron's been talking about that nonstop, and that's what we do. We're supposed to go back and help.
And as you said, the education piece, that's how we educate. We have those conversations like, this is what my experience was. And so by him doing that, by Aaron, you know, sharing his story and how he was able to help you, that then will in turn motivate others.
There's no doubt.
Right.
No doubt.
You know, to be of service in this way.
No doubt. I Aaron does it now. Aaron's a head coach at a Little Miami. Mm-hmm. And the kids ask him all the time, like, you gave your kidney to your uncle? And, you know, Aaron's yes. And he answers the question. Explains it to him, takes the time to explain it to him, because sometimes we as coaches, it's all about football, football, football.
Right.
But he takes the time to explain it to him. And then when he comes down here to UC, when he's in our communities, the Black community, I think it's important for them to see what Aaron looks like.
Yep.
I think it's important for them to see what Darren looks like, because it's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to be present.
Right.
You know, present is everything to our kids.
Right.
They need to see it, touch it, feel it in order for them to say, oh, I'm going to do that. So I think that's our main goal. And I'm getting passionate about it for the simple fact that I get it. Mm-hmm. You know, in today's world where you get text messages and Instagram, you don't get to feel that person. You don't get to see that person hands on and seeing a person. Man, he looks amazing.
Right.
Because he knows how to take care of his body now.
Right. Right.
You know, we don't know how to take care of our body.
Right.
So I just, you know, I give praise to you. I give praise to Dr. Cuffey, because at the end of the day, you know, you and Life Center are doing things truly amazing. Dr. Cuffey's doing things truly amazing. I just want to be a part of it any way I can. So.
Wow. We appreciate, you know, you've just really done so much. I know you spoke at one of our local high schools not too long ago and shared your experience there. And I mean, that's just such a great way to just, again, for people, for young kids, just to see it, you know, to see and be able to ask questions. And again, that's just how we learn, right?
Definitely. Definitely. And our kids, like I said, we got to take the time for them.
Mm-hmm.
I know as a police officer, when I was young, you kind of dealt with the situation and you moved on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as I get older, you deal with the situation and you make sure the follow up is more important than anything. And that's what we're doing here. I think that's what you guys do here at Life Center. The follow up to people is the most important part.
Right.
We talked about investing in kids.
Mm-hmm.
Life Center invests in families. Therefore, that family invests in the community.
That's it.
So I
love that.
Yeah, it's good things.
So it's been how long since you were transplanted?
June 6, 2023.
So you'll be coming up on a year here shortly.
I will. And everybody keeps telling me I got to plan something out for Aaron.
Yes, that's your kidneyversary. That's what we call it. In the transplant world. So, yep, you gotta plan something special for him.
Here's the amazing part. My birthday, my official birthday is April 9th.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people are getting things together to do something for my birthday. And I tell them, my new birthday is June 6th.
Yes.
Because that's where I got a little bit more time.
Right.
So it's funny because Aaron and I will probably do what Aaron and I do. We'll probably go coach some kids on that day and go try to win a football game and prepare for a football game. But I'm going to do something with him. The unique thing about Aaron and I, we can just sit down at a park and talk about life.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing because he doesn't even bring the whole kidney thing up.
Right.
And, you know, he looks at me and is like, come on, can we talk about something else? Because it's just been a part of us.
Yeah.
So, but
he's like, I did it. Let's move.
Yeah, let's move on. So I'm the only one making jokes about it nowadays. So, but I, like I said, he's a blessing. My brother left me.
Yeah.
A blessing.
Yeah.
So
he blessed you in many, many ways.
Definitely.
So do you feel like you've changed the narrative around kidney disease since receiving the transplant, just in terms of your family history? That sort of thing, kind of stop the cycle.
I have, you know, am I satisfied? No.
Right.
I think people look at it differently. I know we just had an Easter dinner on Saturday, and I know a lot of my older family members wanted to talk about it.
Really?
So yeah, okay. Because I think they're more or less amazed with how Aaron and I are moving.
Mm.
You know, it's just, I think you said it's been what, 10 months, I think 9-10 months after the surgery, and we're moving fast.
Mm-hmm.
And they just can't believe that. And they kind of want to still keep you in a bubble, but you know, they get into the educational part, and that's where Sherry kind of jumps into the conversation because, you know, they got to do things on their end. Cause I know she works in a hospital to match up with everything that you guys do at Life Center to make this whole thing work. So,
yeah, she, you know, we had a great conversation where she really talked about, everything that goes into preparing to do an organ recovery on the hospital end. And, you know, it was really eye-opening for me. And just to hear from her perspective, you know, I thought, wow, there's so much that happened. So she's amazing.
I got lucky.
You did.
You ain't got to say it like that.
You married up. No, I'm just kidding.
that's a true statement.
But no, I mean, she's great. And I can only imagine what it meant to have her, you know, in your corner and really supporting you through all of this. Like, you could tell she's solid. So
it's a blessing too, because I know Aaron. Aaron really looks up to her like a mother too.
Yeah.
So yeah, she was double duty that day we had the surgery. So her emotions was all over the place, running from one room to another room. So,
oh
but
goodness.
I mean, like you said, I definitely, in football, outkick my coverage. So yeah. Marrying up is the accurate term for it. So
what do you enjoy doing with the family now that you couldn't do before when you were ill that you can do now?
Just being around them, mm-hmm. You know, at certain points of time, because the kidney donation is very, you want to be in a sterile environment.
Yeah.
You want to watch who you're around, people sneezing and coughing, mm-hmm. and things of that nature. So, you know, I say it jokingly, Sherry kind of put a bubble around me, mm-hmm. and I kind of miss just sitting back and watching kids grow, especially my nieces and nephews and Aaron's kids, because, you know, like I said, with Aaron's dad being gone, mm-hmm. I feel like I step into that role of not only great, great uncle, but mm-hmm. almost like a grandfather-ish figure.
Right.
I'm never going to steal that from him because, right. You know, he's gone, but just enjoying the kids, running with them, playing with them, you know, just life.
Just life.
Just life. I think people miss the show sometimes.
Yeah.
We're always in a rush to get to places.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be funny. Now when the light's yellow, I stop. So then I know them people honking their horn behind me. I'm stopping because I want to take it all in now. I don't want to rush no more. So it
gives you a lot of perspective going through something like that.
It definitely does. I, you know, you slept all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you this funny story, because, you know, with the whole kidney disease, you're tired all the time. Mm-hmm. And I was taking a lot of naps.
Yeah.
So after the surgery, I got all this energy and I'm doing things, and this is probably 4 months after the surgery. I'm leaning against the wall talking to Sherry at home, and she goes, "Why are your eyes red?" I said, "Because I'm tired." She goes, "Well, take a nap." I don't want to take a nap.
No more naps.
I took enough naps to last me a lifetime. But I mean, she's right. We got to take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, I can't run myself into the ground.
Right.
And but I know for people who have that transplant, you're going to get all this energy in the world, but you still have to follow the rules and take care of yourself.
Right.
Because that's part of the education piece.
Right.
You know, so.
Right. Right. Absolutely. So is there anything else you want to talk about?
I do. And I, when I say this, I always like to kind of leave it on a positive note. You know, mm-hmm. for me, the light was going dim. Mm. The light was flickering, and anytime the light is flickering, you know, a lot of people are drawn to the flickering light and ask them, "What's wrong with the light? What's going on? Do we need to change it?" Mm. And sometimes you need to just, you know, tighten that light sometimes, because it shines a little bit brighter. Mm. It got loose. The bulb wasn't going out.
Right.
You know, and I think for me and for a lot of people, they know that person is sick and they have issues. And they come and hug them like it's the last time they're going to see him. Mm. Stop.
Right.
Don't do that. Mm-hmm. If you come to a person that's sick, injured, hurt, or whatever it may be, bring that light to them. Mm. Help them screw their light bulb in, right. and let them shine. Because I knew people meant well.
Right.
But at the same time, it's not it's not uplifting.
Right.
You know, I know I'm different. But at times when I was down and people were giving me those hugs,
yeah,
it hurt.
Yeah,
it hurt. It made me think, like, when I go home, is this the last time I'm seeing my kids?
Right.
Is this the last time I get to be around, you know, family and friends? Bring that energy. When I walk into Life Center, I couldn't believe it, because there's so much energy around here. I had to walk out and come back in to make sure it was real. So if you need that energy, come down here. I don't know what the address is. Andy, you can give them the address, but it's a lot of energy.
615 Elsinore Place, Suite 400.
A lot of energy here. A lot of energy. So, yeah, just bring the energy around people.
Yeah. Well, and I think, too, for you, I think you knew this was not the end of your story. And so people giving that to you, you know, out of just, you know, care and concern, but that's just, I know, you know, knowing you, that wasn't going to uplift you.
No doubt.
Cause you knew your outcome was going to be different, cause you're a fighter, you know?
I appreciate that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think it's important for you to share your story, because I think sometimes black men in particular, who are going through what you went through, and they don't want to fight anymore. They get discouraged. And so I think you really are just an example of just, you know, to keep pushing. And really, you had an amazing family. You know, I had the opportunity to meet some of them, and I can tell you have a great support system, and people who just, you know, love and appreciate you. And that's so important. But I also think you can help other men going through this to show them they, it's, you know, not every day is, you know, like he said, your life felt dim, the light felt dim for you at some point, but the sun is out now.
Oh, doubt. And it will always be out.
Right.
It will always be out, but you're absolutely right. It just, you know, family is great. And I appreciate you saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And hold on to your faith.
Yes.
I think I came to one of your events and I was listening to a lot of people talk at the church, Corinthian church, yes. I believe it was.
Yep.
And, you know, my message was just lean on each other. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes you don't have that support system, but you know, you'll find Darren Chenault. Mm-hmm. I'll support you all day long mm-hmm. because I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hold on to your faith and get to the next day. That's what life's all about anyway.
Yeah. And also just, you know, like you said before, at one point you just hit it. Like we have to get out of that habit. Mm-hmm. We got to be okay with being vulnerable with one another, because that's how we lean in and get that support. If we got to be willing to share it all, you know.
There's no doubt. Honesty. Yeah. Honesty is the best policy. Mm-hmm. They keep saying that. But like I said, being a Black man and being in charge of your household, you know, that's the one big mistake I made in my house. Mm-hmm. You know, my wife would ask, are you doing okay? I'll put that face on. I'm doing great. Yep. Go take a shower and go to bed.
Right.
But because, like you said, she knows who I am. Mm-hmm. She can read into that.
Mm-hmm.
And so she knew things wasn't right. So, right. Be honest with your significant other. Be honest with your family.
Right.
That person that's close to you. Mm-hmm. That's a huge mistake mm-hmm. on my part. But, mm-hmm. you know, that's why I'm out here now trying to make it right and make sure that, you know, men,
mm-hmm.
Black, white, I don't care who right. you are, make sure that you can open up and lean on people.
Right.
Because it's hard. I get it.
Yep. It is. Well, I want to thank you, Darren, for sharing your story. And I want to thank your nephew, Aaron, just for being the hero that he is.
We got to get him out here.
I know we will one day. I'm going to get him. So we'll have both of you back on so we can hear his perspective. Cause I think that too is important. Definitely. For people to listen to, just to take the stigma off of what they think donating a kidney is.
Because then
he can share that. And I'm elated that you both are doing well and just thriving and continuing to give back. So thank you. Thank you for all that you're doing.
I appreciate it. And thank you for having me. And like I said, whatever you need, I'll be there.
All right. I'm going to take you up on that.
Just give me 2 minutes to get here.
Okay. Well, I want to thank everyone for listening. I want to thank Darren for sharing with us today. And I just want to tell our listeners, we appreciate you. And I want to leave you with this. Today, there are 103,750 people who are waiting and wanting to live full, healthy lives. But they can't because they're waiting for life. And 21 of those people will die today because the organ they needed was not available. So what can you do to help? Well, if you aren't registered, and that's when you go to the BMV to renew your license or state ID and you're asked that question, you can register then. You can also go to registerme.org and learn more information and register there as well. So you don't have to wait when you're getting your license. Really to seek out the information, seek the truth, talk to people who have lived this and can speak to the experience. Also speak with a medical professional or someone close to you who maybe is an organ recipient, a donor family, you know, talk to them and get the information. Again, you can go to registerme.org. You can visit our website at lifepassiton.org to get more information. And then also think about living kidney donation. You know, about 90,000 people on that national waiting list are people who need kidney transplants. And so you can do something about that. Learn more about living kidney donation. again, let me say that, learn more about what being a living kidney donor means, because it can save another person's life. And what an amazing legacy. So you can always just find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. So please listen, subscribe, leave us comments. And again, I want to thank my guest. And I want to thank all of you for listening. And just to remind you to please be kind to yourself and to others. Take care.
In our city, we hold the power to save lives. While 90% of adults support organ, eye, and tissue donation, only 60% actually register. Over 500 people in our community are waiting for life-saving transplants, and that number grows daily. Regardless of age or medical history, anyone can be a potential donor. Make a life-saving choice today and say yes. Register now as a life-saving organ, eye, and tissue donor at lifepassiton.org. Together with Life Center Organ Donor Network, we can make a difference. Thank you for listening to This Thing Called Life. Subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your favorite podcast to make sure you get updates on all new episodes. And we would truly appreciate it if you would share, like, or give us a review to help us grow.